I saw a story on TV about a man who's charging $1,000 a person to attend a seminar that he teaches. The name of his seminar is this: Power Etiquette. Power Etiquette for $1,000 a person. Now, his selling point is this: too many people in this world have forgotten the basics of good manners. Too many people have forgotten how to conduct themselves, the things to say to people, the way you carry yourself when you're in a public situation, and especially the way that you sit with others and share a meal. And this is what he says. He says, too many jobs are gained and missed. Too much business is won and lost over a meal, depending on the etiquette that you practice. So for $1,000, you can take a lesson on basic table manners. Then you're prepared for what happens when you come to the table. Saw that story and I thought, that is so true in the world, but it is infinitely more true in the kingdom of God, especially when we come to the table that we call the Lord's Supper. When we gather together to share in communion, it matters how you come to the table. When you eat the bread and drink the cup, it can be a time when you have a deep encounter with the Lord. Or it can be a practice as meaningless to you as stopping to tie your shoe. It all depends upon how you come to the table. 1 Corinthians 11 gives us a lesson in how to be ready when you come to the table of the Lord. And I invite you to learn this lesson today. And it won't cost you anything, but it will require everything. So as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let me talk to you a little bit about how we come to the table. And the first thing is this: when you come to the table, remember where you are. The Bible tells us that the Corinthians had a real problem in their church, and that problem was self-centeredness. Everybody who came to church, and particularly when they came to share in the Lord's Supper, they also joined together in a love feast. And in that love feast, the Corinthians had come to the point where the people who had a lot came early and ate all they could hold, and those who did not have much came, and there was nothing left but a crust of bread. It had become a place where everybody was concerned about what's in it for me. How can I get what I want? And each person conducted himself or herself as though their own satisfaction was the only thing that mattered. They'd lost sight of the Lord because they were too preoccupied with themselves. It strikes me this morning that we can be just as guilty of coming to the table and being preoccupied with everything except the only reason that matters when we're here. Like the Corinthians, we can allow ourselves to be distracted by all kinds of things. We can walk in and sit down in the sanctuary, and by the time the preacher gets up and says the first four or five words, we're already thinking about other things that are important in our minds, things that are on our schedule, plans that we've made, things we're concerned about, opportunities we may have. And we forget where we are when we come to the table. The Bible says you're only prepared to partake when you remember this is the table of the Lord. And nothing you do as a believer should remind you more of what Christ has done for you than the Lord's Supper. What am I saying? I'm saying this: anyone who comes to the table casually or carelessly has forgotten who invited them and what his supper symbolizes. There's no room for self-centeredness when you remember this is the symbol of his broken body and his spilled blood. And it was all given for you and your sake. Come to the table, but leave everything else behind. There's just no room for self-centeredness when we come to the table of the Lord. Second, I would tell you this. Consider who you serve. When you come to the table, you must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the central reality of your life. Sharing the Lord's Supper reminds us of the fact that everything about your life has context and view of your relationship with Him. Everything about who you are, everything about what you do, everything about what you think, everything about what you believe, it all springs from one place, and that one place is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come to the table, and I come because I serve Him there. Jesus is the only reason we come to the table. You know, Baptists are kind of unique because we believe that communion is reserved for people who have made a personal and public commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior. When we come to the table, it is a place that is reserved for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand something. I'm not saying members of this church. What I'm saying is members of His kingdom. Believers, wherever you may go to church and whatever you may, wherever you may practice, if Jesus Christ is your central reality, then we believe this is the place for you. But we also believe this. But if you've not made that commitment to Him, this is not for you. Because in the very deepest sense, you don't understand what it's about. It is about the Savior. It is about the Lord. It's about making a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying because it's so very important. We're not saying, so when we say, when we share the Lord's Supper, we're trying to hold people out. What we're really trying to do is say this, if you belong to Jesus, come in. This is a place for you. You see, the whole purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remind us of the one we serve. It reveals His sacrifice. It declares His resurrection. It reminds us that He has promised to dwell in the hearts of those who receive Him through His Holy Spirit. And it declares His promise to return and receive His own to Himself when that day comes. The Lord's Supper is all about Jesus, and until it is all about Jesus, you're not prepared to come to the table of the Lord. The third thing that the Bible tells us is this: when you come to the table of the Lord, you come to testify. You're identifying with Jesus when you eat the bread and drink the cup. When we schedule the Lord's Supper for this Sunday, we had no idea that people would be talking about the Lord's Supper all weekend, because we saw in the introduction to the Olympics, the opening ceremony, people who chose to mock the table of the Lord. A group of men dressed as women who laughed at the Lord's table. An action that was intended to embarrass and shame people who followed Jesus so that you would say, not me, I don't want to be identified with Him. But you know, that's what makes what we're doing together today even more important. Because it means we are testifying to our faith, that we are publicly saying to anybody who wants to watch and see, yes, I belong to Jesus. Yes, I trust Him. Yes, I reverence Him. Yes, I take Him seriously. The Lord's Supper is an infinitely valuable witness. When you take the bread and drink the cup, you are visibly identifying with the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. You're giving testimony that He is your Savior. And you're declaring to everybody around you, I will follow him as Lord. It's why we do it together and not separately from one another. We testify to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of everything we are and all that we do in our lives and in our church. The Lord's Supper is our testimony. This is the only reason we come together. It's not to see people that we like. It's not to sing songs that we think are good. It's not even to feel as though we are somehow doing something religious. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who sacrificed himself to be your salvation. And we declare, this is who we are as a church. This is who we are. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, Corinthians tells us this: when you come to the table, you have to know that you are prepared. If I could remind you of one vital truth about what we're doing together this morning, it would be this: do not hurry to come to the table of the Lord. That's what the Bible means when it says you are eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. What it's really saying is, you come too casually. You come too quickly. You come with an unexamined soul. You come with an unrepentant heart. You've forgotten the depth of your commitment to Jesus. That's what makes the Lord's Supper so very important. Because this is the time when we all have an opportunity to step back and take a look at the condition of our souls. We step back very quietly and we say, so how am I doing with the Lord? Are there sins that need to be repented? Is there a flame that needs to be rekindled? Is there a need that needs to be expressed? You come to the table of the Lord knowing, I don't deserve to be here, but I've been invited by the Lord himself. So I come to his table. So if we're here this morning and if you're here this morning and you're not willing to take that time for self-examination, remembering his sacrifice, renewing your commitment to him, my advice would be quietly decline to participate until you're ready. In fact, why don't we take a moment right now, and we're going to offer every one of us an opportunity to prepare ourselves to share in the Lord's Supper. So let me invite you to do this. Just quietly bow your head right where you are. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to offer the Lord that place he deserves in your life. Let's pray. Father, is there any more humbling place than the table of the Lord? Father, we thank you that when we come to this place, we never come casually. We never come proudly. We never come unrepentantly. We come recognizing that we need everything this table represents. But we can't claim it, and we can't earn it. We can only receive it. So, Father, we want to pray that you bless us as we share in the Lord's Supper. Amen. And now it is my privilege to invite you to come to the table with a heart washed clean, a spirit of gratitude, and an attitude of reverence. We invite our deacons to come as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. For you to be freed from eternal death, Christ had to die. You must only believe. For you to be brought near to God, Christ had to be separated. You must only believe. For you to be pardoned from sin, Christ had to be condemned. You must only believe. Christ purchased your redemption with his blood. You receive it with belief. God required his son to suffer. He requires you to trust in that suffering. You rebelled. Christ suffered. It was for the remission of your sins. You believe. Christ saves. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the bread that we received this morning, knowing it is a symbol of your sacrifice and your broken body. So, Lord, as we receive it together, we ask you to bless it and help us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
This cup is the new covenant. It is my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes. The Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn there in the upper room and then made their way on to the garden and to the events of his crucifixion and his resurrection. And so we conclude our service with a hymn as well, a hymn of invitation. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you're here and you need a church family, if you're here and you need prayer, I'll be here. You come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, of God I come, I come. Just as I
been a good day to be in God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time together. Let me remind you, tonight at 5, Larry Bird's going to be leading us as we continue having these fellows who are giving my most unforgettable character. And so we look forward tonight to a presentation about Joshua. It's going to be really special, and we look forward to that. Lee reminds me, we are taking up a benevolence offering following the service. As you leave today, you'll see two of our deacons holding offering plates. And if you'd like to leave something behind for benevolence, we encourage you to do that. Let's bow together for prayer and then one final song. So, Father, we thank you that we get to share in this special time, this special observance, knowing, Lord, we don't deserve to be here, but we're invited to come. And we come gladly. Lord, bless us as we go from this place. Help us, Father, to honor you in everything we say and all that we do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Behold.